The only reason I have the mic is for recording purposes. I want to take the whole element out of the teaching element. And also, I thought this is where you're going to be praying, so I want you to be in the atmosphere where we're praying, so I can, if I explain something, you can see it and experience it too. So I didn't want it to be a classroom setting down there and tables and taking notes. And so I just kind of gave you some bullet points of some things we want to cover. And so I appreciate you coming out. And I just want to make this real, I don't want it to be the letter of the law, because nothing's the letter of the law with the Lord. But there are some things that I would like to establish us as a culture in prayer. And they're in the first couple of things, and then Susie will share something. And then some of the other things are just some things that I'll explain, or you can ask questions on as we get into them, and that's more of our stance and our position. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and then just jump right in. Again, this is not a teaching session; it's just kind of resetting, so that we all have the culture of prayer. We're all pressing in for the same things, for miracles, signs, and wonders. And so, again, thank you for all coming out. Thank you for the excitement, and I'm excited about this. So let's pray. Father, we honor you and welcome your presence, and it's all about you, Jesus, and we thank you that you're the one that taught your disciples to pray. You're the one that demonstrate how to pray and how to release miracles in the earth. And so we thank you as your disciples, Father. We just want to hear your voice. We want to see what the Father's doing. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Father, we just want to cooperate and be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I thank you right now. I thank you, Father, for stirring in our hearts to bring heaven into earth, that, Father, you have given us not only a commission, but assignment, a ministry, Father, of reconciliation. You've given us a ministry, Father, that as you're reconciling us back to yourself, we're also, Father, ambassadors of the gospel. And so we thank you for this great commission that you have given us, Father, to make disciples of all nations. We thank you, Father, for Jesus' mission statements, our mission statement in Luke chapter 4, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. It's also upon us. You have anointed us to preach good news to the poor. You have sent us to set the captives free. You have sent us to proclaim liberty for the blind. And Father, we just thank you right now that we enter into, Father, your ministry. We're your extension. We're your hands and we're your voices right now. And we thank you right now. All creation is groaning, Father, waiting for the release of the miraculous, waiting for the glory of God to manifest. And Father, we thank you that you put heaven on the inside of us, that as we speak and we lay hands on, we thank you. We're the extension of heaven and the connection between heaven and earth. And so we thank you right now. I thank you for each one here. We come with open hearts. We come with hungry hearts. And so we thank you for filling us right now, Father, with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing, just the first few things I just want to just cover. Jesus and our mission statement are the same. So Luke chapter 4, and just kind of quoted that. But we want you to get familiar with that, because as you come on Sunday mornings released in prayer, really the mission statement of Jesus is our mission statement. And he's the head and we're the body. So we're the extension of his ministry. He began ministry, and now we're continuing the ministry. He modeled it for us, and he said that we're to go and do the same works that he did, and greater works than these, than he did. So Luke chapter 4 again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I just, you know, as you're praying that, this is talking about Jesus, but when you pray it that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because he's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're new creations in Christ, but it also says that as we have been reconciled to Christ, so are we to be reconciling others. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we're his ambassadors of this ministry of reconciliation. So we're the extension of Jesus' ministry. Same mission statement Jesus had, we have. in Luke chapter 4, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. So that's the ministry of prayer, bringing people back into relationship with God the Father, encounter with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and whatever that is. The three areas there that we're ministering in, and it's other ministries, but they're all tied in them, that's all mentioned in Luke chapter 4, is salvation. And one of the things we need to just be aware of, and even though we're familiar with people, we can't assume that they're always saved. So we'll give you some instructions on that, but there's several scriptures there familiar. You should be able to, in prayer time, be able to lead someone to the Lord and asking them and finding out. And I'll give you some questions in that. But you, when we're listening to them, don't assume that everybody, even the people you know here, have had an encounter with God. I find that a lot of people have had a religious experience. And, you know, they might have prayed the prayer, but the encounter, they haven't had a changed life. And they don't really know for sure their relationship with the Lord is secure, and if they were to leave this life, they couldn't answer the question, you know, without a doubt, I would be in the presence of God. So salvation is one of the things that we're ministering, not just a prayer, but if we get them right with God and right relationship with Him, then they can draw on God for themselves. But so salvation, I gave you several scriptures there. One of those, you get down to Romans, and that's basically the Romans road, if you wanted to, if you've ever been taught in the Romans road, you know. Romans 3, 23 is we're all sinners. Chapter 5 talks about the grace of God. Chapter 6 talks about also the grace of God and glory. Chapter 10 then leads us into believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth. So be familiar with it. It's not, we don't want to be legalistic in it. You know, we're not going to pressure people, but you need to be aware that a lot of the people coming in have had religious experiences, but haven't had an encounter that's where they know that they know and their life is being changed and transformed. So salvation is one of the areas we're ministering. The second one is baptism in the Holy Spirit. And when we minister baptism in the Holy Spirit, you may ask someone, are they filled with the Holy Spirit? Ask that question. They may say no, or I don't know what that is. Don't assume they're saved just because of that. One of the hindrances over the years we've experienced is we gave invitations years ago and people would come for the Holy Spirit, and we find they wouldn't get filled, and we find out they hadn't even been saved. So prerequisite for being filled with Holy Spirit, they have to be saved. And I gave you some scripture, Acts chapter 8, when the apostles came down from Jerusalem to Samaria. They came down to lay hands on them. They found out that the people were born again, and they had another experience. Paul asked, have you received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 19 since you believed? And they said, we don't even, haven't even heard there be such Holy Spirit. Paul then didn't minister Holy Spirit to them. He went back and led them to Christ. Well, then what baptism were you baptized into? And they said, into John's. And he goes, oh, you haven't had the born-again experience yet. So he prayed for them, brought them in, and then he was able to lay hands on them. They were filled with Holy Spirit. So people, when we give an invitation about being filled with the Spirit, people want that, but sometimes they want it, but they don't even realize they haven't been born again, which is really a prerequisite for being filled with the Spirit. And then the third area, and I put the two together, is healing and deliverances, okay? And I found all these were in Luke chapter 4, okay? So we're to preach the gospel to the poor, which I believe is salvation, being born again, John 3, the born again experience. But healing and deliverance, and I gave you a whole lot of scriptures there, Isaiah, Matthew, James, you know, I can quote most of these scriptures for you, but you need to get these scriptures. If you're ministering healing, you need to know how to minister the word, not just praying for someone to be healed. It's the words you need to bring down into the life. Jesus prayed the word. And then I just gave you the best example of ministry is Jesus as he ministers in the gospel. So Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time and a lot of words, but He heard the Father. He spoke the Word of God. So when we're praying and ministering people, we want to make sure we're ministering the Word and what the Lord is saying. So familiar with scriptures for salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The greatest miracle people are going to experience is salvation, being born again. And so, you know, we can't assume that anybody comes forward. I mean, there are some. I mean, if one of you came forward, I wouldn't. Apostle Linda, or one of you say, are you born again, you know, or how do you know you are? I mean, we've had encounters with us here, but some of our congregation don't assume, you know, and if they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, the best way to pray the Holy Spirit is to, first of all, leave them in the prayer of salvation. Activate them salvation. You say, do you activate people in salvation? Yes, Billy Graham did it to hundreds of thousands of people. And if you've ever been in his crusade, it's just crazy, because he'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And if you have not received Jesus, you know, as your Lord, however he puts it, he says, I'm going to invite you to come down, and people are going to join you here, and they're going to pray with you. And thousands would get up in those stadium events. And go down there, and he would activate them in salvation. In the charismatic movement, we found out the same pattern. You activate people in the Holy Spirit, and so the scripture's there. You can lead them in it, and it's all by faith, okay? Both Holy Spirit and salvation is by faith. So when we get in healing and deliverance, you can also activate people by getting them to declare the word, which means, you know, if you have the word, you're declaring it over them and praying. So there's a lot of scripture there. Again, you know, make yourself familiar with Jesus' ministry by reading the Gospels. I gave you just several there, but you can include all the Gospels. And then I just put the little excerpt in there. Most of us know this, but sometimes we forget. Praying in the name of Jesus, that's the authority that we're standing in. We're representing him as his representatives. He's commissioned us, and he's given us authority in his name. And so, you know, when we pray in his name. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And so that's just the introduction. The rest is logistics, some of the things that creates a culture here, some of the things that I want you to be aware of. But this is the prayer team. I think I'm going to tag it instead of the altar team, call it the prayer team, okay? Because I get mixed up. That's I get mixed up, and so everybody understands when I say prayer team. We're referring to this group, and I'll give some instruction a little bit on that. So any questions on these three elements, that these are the three areas? Of course, deliverance is combined with healing there, and that's setting the oppressed free. So deliverance is there, and I'll talk about that. As I mentioned, some other things. Any questions? Any comments? Yes?
Clarification. You want us to throw the questions on which of these to address? They come up and they ask for, we don't know who they are.
We'll get to that where the ask the question part, I'll fill in more detail in that. Yeah. We need to be good question askers. Okay. That's good. And good listeners. If you listen, sometimes people will come up and they'll say something, and you'll go, in your spirit, you'll witness, I don't even know if they're born again. So then instead of praying, you go back, and you start the process of leading them in salvation, okay?
I have a question. I assume maybe it's clarity as we move forward. But if the person is born again and we're praying, are we saying that we can't initiate prayer unless they've accepted or they
say? No. Okay. No. I just want us to be sensitive that not everybody that comes up is born again, or if they are, we're not leading everybody in it. Every situation's hearing the voice of God and being obedient to what he's showing you to do. And we'll get into that more. Again, did you get a sheet? No. Do we have any more sheets? That might help them if you came in. Okay. Okay, other questions? I hope to cover some of that and give more detail. Okay. I'm going to take let Susie come up and take a few minutes, and she's going to address something that she shared with me, and I believe is part of this first part of authority and praying, where our position is in praying. And so, Susie, want to come take a minute? Yes.
At any given time, how many prayer teams or members?
We'll get that in the logistics. This will, okay, we'll cover that. I'll hopefully bring it back up.
I just want to share a couple of minutes about positioning, where you are when you're praying, because we know that in Ephesians it tells us that we're seated next to Jesus Christ, far above all powers and principalities, so we are not battling anything. And I know sometimes in the old season, even though that scripture was there, I was not aware of it like I'm aware of it today. And so that we know that the battle has always been already been won. So we are taking a hold of what the promise is and releasing it to the person. And that is how Jesus prayed. You know, he had compassion. And he described what his compassion was. He says, I know what they need. They're like sheep without shepherds. And so they need help. And I know what the answer is. But he didn't pray out of empathy or sympathy. And I was seeking the Holy Spirit about this meeting a couple of weeks ago. And I actually had this vision God gave me about that if you pray from empathy and sympathy, which I know I've done before, because I can feel, you know, what sometimes what the other people are feeling, and it gets into my emotions. And so I have to know to not let it get into my emotions, because if I pray in empathy, then I'm praying straight on and not seated far above. And your perspective is totally different. So when you pray out of your emotions because you feel for that person or you can understand their situation in a way that it impacts your emotions, you just have to be aware, so that you don't get into a place that you're not apprehending all the power and authority that we've been given. Because we've been given every power and authority in the name of Jesus to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. That's the work of the kingdom. So, you know, that's an exciting thing. And so one of the scriptures that's really alive right now is Psalm 24, verses 7 and 8, where it says, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory can come in. Who is this King? He's the Lord, mighty in battle. And so I'm trying to have that so ingrained in myself that every time that even for myself, that I think about what would be a solution here or what could be the answer here, that I am looking up. And so that's why I had this banner brought up here, because I like visuals. They really stick in my head. And so we are the open gate. And so when our eyes are lifted up and we're looking, which is what Jesus said, he says, I speak and I do what I see the Father doing. And so when our eyes are lifted up, then there's an opening, there's a portal, there's a pathway where his power can come down through us. And we can impact that person or that situation that we're praying for in a powerful way that causes change, that causes things to shift, that causes things to break, that causes deliverance, that causes the miraculous. And that's what, you know, that's what we're expecting. And I know as a team that this team has had a lot of fruit for a lot of years, and you know, I praise God for that, because I've had answers from prayer myself in this lineup here that we do. But this is a new day, and God is doing more. He's doing more. And so I'm just expecting a gusher like this, like the gusher of the Holy Spirit to come through, because I'm going to see in the Spirit, like Elisha prayed and said to God, open my servant's eyes, because he felt overwhelmed by the enemy, and God opened his eyes, and what he saw was there's more that are with us than are against us. And so just stay positioned accurately so that you know that we're always in the place of victory, that victory is now and it's here. We're not waiting for it. Yes, sure.
Can you explain the difference? Because What you're saying, I think I understand what you're saying about Franklin and empathy and taking on their sickness. But yet we've also been, and I know Pastor Paul's been preaching about us having compassion in the compassion in what Jesus says. He's called compassion on the people. So can you explain the difference between that we need to operate out of a place of compassion for the people, but yet not what you're talking about as well? Can you kind of...
Yes. I mean, Apostle Bob may want to address this as well, but my understanding of compassion means that I look at you and I see that you have a lack, you have a need, and I know that Jesus is supplying that need, and so that it moves my heart then to release that to you. But empathy means I relate, I understand, I've been in that place, I know how hard it is, or what it feels like, or the loss of it, or the challenge of it. And then that gets you into a place of your emotions, where then you may feel like you have to battle something where the battle's already been won. That's my understanding, and I'm sure Apostle Bob might have more to add to that, but that's how I see it, and how I talk to myself about it.
That's really good, if that makes sense. And the other thing with, we want to move with compassion. Jesus felt compassion, but he didn't go into praying for the need. He went to the word. Yes. And so feeling that, we draw the word into that, not going into, oh, I feel sorry for you, and praying from a need base thing, you know, petitioning up, where we feel it, but we connect with the word and bring the word into it. And that's pretty much what I think Susie's saying too. Is that? Because I'll be real honest, and I've been there, and when you get up and you, some people bring some things, if you're not careful, I find myself doing it often. Whoa, I'm so overwhelmed in my emotions. My spirit is saying, you know, by his stripes they're healed, and the words were activating, but I'm so overwhelmed with, whoa, that they're thing, that then I find myself praying, you know, Lord, I ask that you do this and that, and it goes from even commanding with authority the word into it to almost pleading with them, and, you know, Lord, please do something. Yeah, that's why I feel in it. Nicole? Comments or questions? I mean, we're positioned, we're seated with him in heavenly places. That's our position of authority. And it's very easy to get pulled back into the earthly natural realm when the needs are so overwhelmed, especially if you start to see the multitudes. And I think the great healing evangelists, that their record was that they didn't get caught up. They felt the compassion and the pull of the needs, but they didn't give in to that. And they just, you know, would speak the word in the name of Jesus, and they saw great miracles, you know, the ones that at least I've been related to over the years. Any other comments, questions? Some of this is... For me, I got in, and I think the teams get into a place of familiarity that we almost automatically, I can operate out of my head because I got so much memorized in Scripture that when they come up, I can start flowing there, and I miss hearing what is God saying, and that may not be the need at all, but if I hear God and follow him, then I can draw all my spirit what the word of God says and pull it down rather than our familiarity. And sometimes in prayer My experience over the years is that it's real easy to get in familiarity of how we pray, and it doesn't stay fresh. So, it gets to be routine and automatic rather than being stirred with compassion, but also with being led by the Spirit at the same time. Joyce, why don't you move up, Joyce? We asked everybody to kind of stay a little closer. It's because I didn't want this to be a teaching session, and I'm only holding the mic because he's recording it for some, so I want to just kind of talk, and I can't do that and can't hear everybody. So what was your question? Or?
No, I was just going to comment when I first started doing what they call altar work years ago. One of the first people came up to me, I was like, well, this is kind of the easy one. And she came up to me and she started talking, and on the inside me, my mouth went, and I went, Holy Spirit, help. Father God, help. I need the words to say. Because even though she looked very neat, very beautiful, and very, just refined woman.
That's good.
She was in desperate need. And the words to say. And that's what keeps me.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly, don't judge people by their appearance, how they come down, how they look, because you'll probably miss it. But let Holy Spirit give you. Let me just go over a few of these areas and make some comments. You can jump in anytime and ask it. And these are just generalities. This is not letter of the law. These are just some observations. There's many more in this areas that hinder healing, okay? And let me say in praying this, James chapter 5, it says, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So we're not putting any guilt on the people that are coming up for prayer. We don't say to them, you didn't have enough faith, because it says, you're the one that's praying the prayer of faith. So the prayer of faith, they're not praying the prayer of faith, you're praying the prayer of faith. And so we don't want to put guilt and turn that around. And sometimes we do that. In fact, in the movement, at times people would say, well, you don't have enough faith. Go sit down, And I know people that were offended and came through church. I remember one particular lady that went to every church in the area, and she was looking for someone to pray the prayer of faith, and was testing us out to see if we would pray the prayer of faith rather than asking, do you have faith to be healed? But unbelief is one of the hindrances, and really we're looking, if someone came and what happens when someone comes and maybe you're familiar with them, all of a sudden they say, I'm stage 4 cancer. I have 10 days. You can feel compassion and then go in there, Lord, keep them at peace and comfort them and give doctors wisdom and all that. But where's the faith for the miraculous and that? And so unbelief is really, we want to make sure that we're pulling down and believing in the impossible. It says, what must I do the works of God? And it says, believe. It doesn't say anything else. And so as teams, we want to make sure when we're coming forward that, we're our faith is in God. It's not in our prayer. It's not in, anything else. It's in God and Him alone. Faith in God, not faith in ourselves or a system or anything else. Unforgiveness, especially toward fathers, mothers, and themselves. I believe this is a key hindrance, and if Holy Spirit leads you and you listen, if you're listening, you'll find that people have issues with fathers and mothers. It's a major thing across as you counsel on that, unforgiveness toward mothers and fathers, and that will hinder healing from coming. It will block it. And so sometimes, you pick that up and you might ask a question. You pick up in spirit. And sometimes I'll just say, how's your relationship with your father? And if they say pretty good or it's good, he's gone on. And I might say then, well, how about your mother? Well, that's not so good. Then you can lead them in a prayer of forgiveness, and releasing that. And I've had people that literally have said, well, I can't forgive them. And then you might have to instruct them, well, God's forgiven you, and so you have the ability to forgive. It's a choice. And but on forgiveness, and especially toward fathers, mothers, and themselves. Lots of people haven't forgiven themselves, you know, and so that's why you can lead them through, again, the prayer of salvation, and receiving the love of the Father into their hearts and lives. Unconfessed sin, that can be a hindrance. We don't always press that, but that can be a hindrance. And what we mean by unconfessed sin, it's a habitual or sin that's a lifestyle, okay? Because they can be a believer, and we all miss it at times, but there's strongholds or sin that's a lifestyle that they haven't chose the... Maybe they confessed it, but they haven't received the forgiveness for it. But unconfessed sin can also hinder. And so when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, if he says something that's strange out of the box, the way I usually, if I'm listening, and sometimes you just go into that familiar just prayer mode without listening, I confess that we all do that, that I do that anyway at times. But if we're listening... for me, I know it's Holy Spirit when it's spontaneous. It's not in my wheel well of thinking. I'm just there and okay. And that's where it takes faith on our part to ask a question and step out of our comfortable and ask the question. And so unconfessed sin, wrong confessions or our words. Sometimes people come up and when they just talk and you know, man, their words are just, you know, not there. And so you can, you know, pray that way, pray that, you know, forgiveness for wrong words. And then demonic strongholds and spirits of infirmity. Not all sicknesses is a result of just natural causes. Some of them are spirits of infirmity. And that's where deliverance comes in. When you bind a spirit, Jesus, you see it time and time again that he bound the spirit of deafness or muteness or whatever, and then the person was healed. And healing isn't always just praying for the sick. It's sometimes casting out a spirit of infirmity, okay? And so those are... just a few areas. There's so many more. It's really complicated, so we don't get stuck in just that's all there is. But we want to get more familiar with just flowing with the Holy Spirit and what he's saying. And so our familiarity is not in the methodology we pray, and because everybody's different. And for every person that you're going to come forward, every one of them is unique and different. And the Holy Spirit knows what their issue is, knows really what their hindrance is. You don't. And so listening to the Holy Spirit. Any questions on that? Again, there's many other areas we could do. Lee?
One of the things when you're talking about unbelief, it reminds me, and this happens a lot of times when people come up, is they just get jabbering, and it's like it's just spewing unbelief. And so I just want to make sure that people know to cut them off.
Yeah.
Cut off that unbelief and say, what, you know, you either what are you believing for,
yeah,
or what do you actually want us to pray for? Just, you know, be aware, but be bold.
And we got that in questions down here.
Okay.
When they came. No, but it's when you come and you ask them, what are you believing for? And then they start spewing out. You say, you stop them and say, no, what is it you're believing for? Not what is, you know, and they can say, well, I have cancer, and that's enough. They don't have to give you all the details. The details will wear you out and wear you down and get you in unbelief and doubt real quick. And that's what you're saying, too. And so our thing is, what are you believing for? What would you like prayer for? Okay. And then listening to the Holy Spirit, too. But, yeah, we don't let them come and... some people will give you, going back 20 years, it started 20 years ago, and tell you the root cause and its genealogy. And you don't need all those details. Those are natural things. What you need is the result. So we're asking the question, what is it that you want God to do for you? You might put it in a lot of different ways. What are you believing for when you get prayed for? What can I agree with you for? Okay, so there's a whole lot of ways you can do it, but as soon as they go beyond just that, you need to say no. Okay, so we'll cover that a little more here. Any other questions? Joyce?
I was just going to comment about the unbelief, I guess, that sometimes people come back up for prayer Sunday after Sunday. And my thing is, I don't care how many times they come up, I'm just going to keep
right.
telling them what it is they want prayer for. And if it's the same thing, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, because I heard people, when I was learning how to pray for people at the altar, I heard people saying, haven't you been up here before?
Yeah. No, and we're going to address that, you know. There are people, and that's right. We don't know which prayer is going to do it or where it's going to click. But if you prayed for someone, don't get in the habit of praying for the same people. If you've done it a couple times, let another team or another one, because, you know, it used to be, well, if they get healed from them, then I think, well, you know. I don't care how they get it. If they didn't get it for me for some reason, whatever it is. But if they get healed, let's rejoice, and it doesn't matter. And some people relate to other people. But some people you'll see will come up here and they're going to look for certain people to pray for them. And we want to break that familiarity too. That you have to go to Pastor if he's up there. Or, you know, or Susie or Apostle Linda or someone. You know, they think there's something more special. You're all special because you've all been anointed. You have the same Holy Spirit, same authority. I'm going to empower that and commission you into that. So, okay, we'll talk about that. Any other questions or comments?
You know, I found out that doesn't work when people try to pick who they want to pray for them. And I've seen it happen where they'll go up to this person, but they don't really get what they should get. I mean, I know it for a fact.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because God can have what you need from the very person that you might not want to go to.
Yeah. It works for the it works that way, but works this way. If you're up here, sometime you see someone coming down the aisle, and you go, "I hope they don't come to me." come on. You got to be honest. I mean, you've seen them come up every week, and all of a sudden, you know, and they're coming up, and now they're coming to you, and you go, no, that one's special for, you know. we want to take all those elements out and not get in the spirit of familiarity both ways. Both ways. Any other questions on that before we just make some comments? These are general, just preparation for a Sunday morning prayer, a prayer and communion with Holy Spirit and the Word. Make sure you're prepared, okay, when you come. Don't just kind of casually come in on Sunday morning. You haven't dealt with your issues, and you're going to come in and now deal with other people's issues. It doesn't usually work that way. But prepare yourself, and there's scriptures you can read, fellowshipping with Holy Spirit. A couple of these are redundant. It says, deal with anything in your personal life and relationship with the Lord. I remember times, especially when we had kids, that there were times when we got in the parking lot, I had to take care of some things because getting ready with a family wasn't just me I was getting ready for, and I lost it and said something. And so before I could come in the church, I had to deal with that, make it right with Apostle Linda, with the kids, you know, before I come in the doors. And that was a practice I did. I still do. I just don't get here and say, okay, you know, and if I haven't dealt, so I'm up early. But being part of prayer team is getting up and asking Holy Spirit. There's another one here, waiting on the Lord by talking and listening to Him. So it's not just listening, but it's also talking to Him, asking Him questions. You know, start asking Him for words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You know, when I take time to do this, it's amazing that the Holy Spirit will show me who I'm to pray or prophesy over. And when I get there, I think, okay, if I see them, that's a confirmation. And I'll see it, and I'll go, oh my gosh, okay, I better be obedient because I saw them, even the dress or kind of dressing they have on, the clothes. So you can get a word of knowledge. You don't have to wait to get here to get it. You can get it. You can get it, yeah. you can get it waiting on the Lord and listening. He'll show you things before they happen. You know, and if you're clean, He's going to trust you. I mean, pure in your own heart, He's going to trust you with the issues that people have. Okay? And ask that. Pray in tongues because it edifies the spirit, renews the mind, and builds your faith. And that's Jude 20. And there's nothing like praying in the spirit because you're not praying to your mind, you're praying to God, the Father. And when you pray to Him, you know, He'll answer back. And so you pray and you listen, and He'll prepare you, okay? And then, you know, your radar's up then when people start coming, you know, He says, okay, you're going to be praying, and then you're kind of, okay. Not in a good way, you're not being a examiner going around trying to find that person sometimes. Sometimes it's just what you're going to pray, and then you get up there, and I'm amazed. I go, whoa, that's exactly what He told me. I didn't know who it was, but you're going to encounter this here. And I mean, especially when you get some really tough things, you think you can handle them. Let me tell you, one of the ones that really could have rocked me without Holy Spirit was when in an individual that had been attending here not very long, but came forward and they confessed that they were homosexual. If the Holy Spirit hadn't prepared me and said that there's going to be someone comes to prayer this morning that's going to confess that they're homosexual, if I wasn't prepared, that would have rocked my boat and I wouldn't have known how to enter in. I would have been shocked. That would shut them down, but it was just like, well, it's any other sin, you know, that's good, and kind of led them in prayer. And that person today is, as far as I know, is still free of that. And so, you know, ask Holy Spirit what you might be engaging in the morning. Pray in tongues, edifies the spirit. Number five, come with expectation of miracles, signs, and wonders. And that's John 14:2. All things are possible to them that believe. And what must we do? To do the works of God, Jesus, chapter 6, just believe. So we come with great expectation. I mean, we come in, and can you imagine if all the prayer team comes in with this expectation? And I remember being in services sometimes where, man, the atmosphere was so fired up that people were getting healed without even prayer because the atmosphere was there for it. And you hardly had to do anything but give an invitation, and people were, and I want to get back into that, you know, where we experience that the glory of God and signs, wonders, and miracles. And remember, it's not our job to do the signs, wonders, and miracles. We lay hands on the sick. He does the signs, wonders, and miracles. We do our part, and He'll do His part, you know. And don't get, you know, sometimes I get bent out of shape. I want to see instant things. And sometimes after you pray and you don't see an instant thing, you know, I start blaming myself. No, I'm going to be obedient and stay in faith, okay? And then see the people and feel compassion and burden for them, which is Matthew. See the people the way God sees them and then be moved with compassion, okay? And we talked about that. Any questions on that part? Yes.
Sometimes there needs to be, if you pay attention to the invitation you give, because
yes,
once in a while you will give a particular
yes
area.
Yeah. What Apostle Linda, sometimes I'll feel an invitation in a particular area, and I'll give an altar call for a particular area. A prayer team, listen to that area, okay, because those are the people we're going to ask. I believe there's going to be people that were, say, I was watching my son, and he felt a real strong burden for, I can't remember now, but it was a specific sin, and said he just felt the Holy Spirit was moving, and there were those that needed to confess or want to repent, and so he had the altar teams ready. Well, if you hear me give a specific, if it's healing, it could be healing, I feel real strong on healing, Well, you know, make sure that the people that are coming for a healing, but you can hear her Holy Spirit on other things that's hindering it. But listen to what the invitation is. I'm going to try to address invitations and just who wants to have an encounter with God type of thing. You know, I might package the whole thing in as do you know Jesus is your Lord? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, is there something in your body that you need a healing or touch from God? If I give a general thing, then it's open. But if it gets real specific, listen to the invitation, because those people are coming with that expectation. So it doesn't mean you have to stay in the lines of that area if Holy Spirit leads you. But that's what the invitation's for. Does that make sense? Okay. Some questions and to ask. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you what the Father is saying and doing. And I said in preparation you can do that. Ask for words of knowledge, words of wisdom. But also just when you're up here, you know, and you're praying, and sometimes in the midst of the service, so much is going on, and activity and moves, and I get into a familiar, and I don't stop and ask Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? Show me what you're doing right now. Show me what you're saying right now. And it might just be one person out there that you get a word for, but it might be a whole corporate thing. Sometimes you can give such a general invitation that I know the whole congregation could respond something, you know. I try to stay away from those invitations, but there are those times when people just need a touch of God and you give a generality out there. But ask Holy Spirit to show and reveal what the Father is saying, doing. Ask Holy Spirit for a word of wisdom and word of knowledge. What does that person want prayer for? Okay. What can the Lord do for you? What is it that you are believing for? So that's asking the questions. But then don't stop by there. After praying, ask them if they say, well, I got pain in my whatever it is, side or pain in my leg. After you pray, ask them a question. How does it feel now? And I know that asking the question on a scale of 1 to 5, and the hospitals do this. Every hospital I go into, they have a chart up there, 1 to 5, and they show you. Tell us on 1 to 5, 5 being the most severe and 1 being, or you might say 1 to 10, that's sometimes. Okay, on 1 to 10, where's that pain? Where was it when you came in? Oh, man, it was 9. How's it feel now? Well, it's a little better. What would you say, 7? Well, then go back and pray again. Jesus did that. You know, the man saw men as trees, the blind man. So Jesus went and prayed again, and then he saw more clearly. Stay with it. Don't be afraid to ask a question. How's it, you know, how's it feel now? Well, pray again. Go back in, and in Jesus' name, pain go, you know. And so ask questions. How's the pain now? Do you feel any different? Pray again. Do something you couldn't do before. And that if it's a pain in the shoulder or something, that's probably the easiest one. And say, you know, what couldn't you do before? Move it, you know. And don't you move it. Don't you take it and start yanking it up and down. I've seen that too. okay. And if you feel Holy Spirit is saying spit in their eye, you better make sure it's Holy Spirit. Jesus only did it once, you know, so it's not a pattern. And if you hear it, then that person's going to receive healing. I'm just saying, do something you couldn't do before. I mean, if they were having trouble walking without, say, take a step. How's that feel now? Okay, or lift your leg. What couldn't you do? I couldn't lift. Oh, a little more, okay. Well, then pray some more, you know. Try it now, you know. Take a couple steps, you know. Any questions on that part, that section? Go on.
I wonder sometimes there seems to be, you have to have a balance between when you know to pray again. But sometimes it's like, if I haven't seen an effect in somebody or a reaction or something, I'm kind of repeating the same prayer and pressing it instead of believing in myself and just letting it be settled, you know. Does that make sense? No?
Yeah, it makes sense. But there's a balance in that.
Right, that's
what I said. Because I think there is a time, if there's not anything happening, you have to pull back and say, you know, I'm trusting, and you keep trusting, you know, I know all things are possible with God, and you need to pull back if there's not anything that's...
You're not making it just about seeing a visible effect on it.
Right, right, or feeling, but... But sometimes what you're doing, and it gets down to the next one, is one of these ones, you're activating their faith. Sometimes you get them to say something. You want to activate salvation, get them to pray. After you, that's how you pray the Holy Spirit. If you believe in your heart, it's the same thing, by faith. You receive Holy Spirit by faith, and that's Luke 11 that talks about if you ask the Father for bread, he's not going to give you a serpent. If you ask Holy Spirit, how much more is he going to give those that ask? So get them to ask for the Holy Spirit. So you activate, ask for the Holy Spirit, and the same way you receive salvation, believe you receive it. And so you activate them. Same thing in healing, you activate them and doing something that maybe they couldn't do. Okay, but again, it's not a formula. Everyone's going to be different. And I want you to go in as everyone different. I don't want us to go in as this is the pattern how we do everything. Okay, because people are coming in different baggage, different situations, different relationships with the Lord, with people. As many people as there is, there's those many combinations. And so, and our eyes have to be on the Lord and trust. Okay, I'm just going to trust and believe you. And so I think we'll get out in some strange things we tell people to do, but the results will be, you know, God will confirm it. So.
Just maybe there's a more puzzle than was saying the balance too, but the trying to just grapple between continuing to press and press and press, but then the other side of being just overly wordy in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden there's somebody up there and we have them up there for 10, 15, 20 minutes because we're trying to take a stance.
That's what she meant, yeah.
So, you know, balancing out, I mean, even when Jesus had them come back, his prayers for healing for people were never more than like a sentence.
Yeah.
Getting it.
So.
Yeah. And you get in a danger, which I get down here, you get in a danger of counseling. The prayer team is not a counseling giving advice, and that's in here too. And the longer you go, that the danger is going there. So, yeah. I mean, be sensitive, pray. Pray, you know, what you know how, in Jesus' name. And if you don't have anything to press on or ask, let go.
I was thinking too, those people that we prophesied. So part of it was, so we started a prophecy where, well, at least I already remember, which is, I see a stream. So for me, I would just stop there. So there's something like being in that and hearing what the Lord is saying. And then it's like, I would hear other people there going deeper and deeper. So it's almost like asking a question. And so I'm saying, I see a stream. And at the same time, I'm literally saying, Lord, what is it in the stream I see? And then, so I think there's a mechanical component to that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm listening at the same time. So I'm saying, kind of what about Linda said as well. I believe we have to be confident and have faith as we release and trust. So the same thing is prophetic. I'm going in, but I'm also listening.
Yeah.
So as I'm going in, I'm listening to what the Lord says to go deeper.
Yeah.
Okay, what is it about this? So then there might be a repeat question. It doesn't limit my faith or my strength when I first went, and it didn't limit the word that I released at that moment.
Right.
But it's an overlapping word. So the words are already coming, if I can say it that way, as I'm speaking.
Yeah. And it's a real discipline to why you're there to be. And I know we can do this because I can drive and pray in the Spirit and I'm having a relationship and I'm still conscious of my driving. I'm not cause an accident, because your spirit. So when we're up here and we're communing with Holy Spirit, we can ask those questions while at the same time we have that person there. And so, yes, I think it's a new season moving, but yes, I think you're right. Activate them in receiving by declaring, lead them in declaring the word, and giving thanksgiving for answered prayer. Once you prayed for them, one of the best ways to do is now lift your hands and thank God for your healing. So you're activating them and encourage them. Now, as you go back, every time, maybe you haven't manifested in the healing, but just thank God, because sometimes as they go, they're healed. But activating them in thanksgiving for what God's already done, because you prayed and you believed, and so you're thanking God for receiving. Encourage them to share their testimony with someone else. This is really important, especially with salvation or baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if they believe, they had some encounter, tell them to go share it, because sometimes as they go and share it, the complete healing comes and their testimony. So activate them in sharing their testimony with someone. Go back and tell what Jesus did for you this morning. Go back, tell your encounter. Any questions on that? I don't know if I should have put don'ts on there, but do's and don'ts. I don't want to make this legalistic, but don't tell anybody to stop taking medication. Okay. That's not your job. Jesus went and said, go show yourself to the priest. The priest's job was to confirm the leprosy was gone. And Jesus even modeled that. So right now, and I'm going to say there's even more reasons for that, and we don't do things just because lawsuits and things like that, but we're applying the principles, and we don't tell people to stop taking medications, nor do we tell them to stop going to the doctor. I tell them, go to the doctor, and he'll confirm that you received it, because going to the doctor doesn't heal, or not going to the doctor doesn't give you faith or not. And if they take an aspirin or not, that's not going to heal them, or they stop taking medication. So get it confirmed so you don't get into that area. Don't make those statements. There's other things here. Don't give counsel or advice, outside of the word. You can tell them the word. The word says this, and give them the word to take back. But don't start giving them counsel. You need to do this or, do that. You get into counseling, and we're not counseling. We're a prayer ministry, okay? And then the last one there I got is, don't make promises you'll do something for them or give them something. In other words, I'll meet with you after and talk to you about it. Don't do that. Or, if they have a need, talk to me after. No. You're praying that God will meet their needs, and you're not making promises to them. So, so don't, at least when you're up here, if the Holy Spirit leads you after to approach someone that's there, but as part of the prayer teams, don't make any promises. Or give counsel. And there's a lot of areas on here, so I don't want to be legalistic. Some areas of real concern that you need to are red flags is a suicide. Suicide's at right now at a place where it's being legislated, but it's also, do you report someone that has suicide tendencies or don't you? If they go and commit it, then you're liable in some places. So as soon as someone comes up and says, and you'll have a lot of this, you get a lot of it, I feel like taking my life, or I feel like dying, things like that. Just be real careful you don't get in counseling with that. Pray, bind the spirit of death. You can bind, because we know it's a spirit of death. Bind the spirit of death. Know that you have been given the keys of Matthew 6:16-19. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Give that, but then also report it to one of the leaders so that you're accountable. Don't hold that onto yourself and carry that. What happens on that, when someone comes and it can be released on you, and you start wondering, I'm carrying this, and all of a sudden you start to have those thoughts. And so just be real cautious right now because there's a spirit of death that's been released. And it's amazing how many people are thinking about killing themselves or taking their lives. So just be real cautious in this, that you're not giving counsel. You can bind the spirit of death, pray for them, but let someone know that, hey, there's someone at the prayer line. This is what they're praying, so that there can be follow-up. Either we'll get counsel for them or offer it. There was a young lady not too long ago that came and confessed someone. The prayer team person told us that. It was a person in the neighborhood. We took that, and I called her up and gave her someone to follow up with to go deeper. And then, you know, but don't take it on yourself, okay? Anything that breaks the law is required to be reported. I'm going to tell you one thing right now, that you're required. If someone comes up and talks about child sexual abuse, they tell you that, you are required to report it. Any abuse for a child. So if they start to come and start to even do that, sometimes it's best say, just let me pray. I don't want to know anymore, but let us know, because it's very, and I know it's the law and we're the church, but I'm going to tell you that right now in the church, there's witchcraft and things are coming into the church to bring lawsuits to take the church down. People's jobs right now are to go in and to do something that is the law, and we're not under the law, but it's the law, and we receive it and don't report it, but they'll report it that you didn't report it. And their job right now, and it's getting to be really bad, not just witchcraft, but others will come in. And so so anything that's on that level right now, okay, be careful. That's why when men come forward, and we want men to pray with men and women with women, because there's certain things that men can hear with a man, but a man's not going to tell a woman, or a woman's not going to reveal to a man. And if they do, you don't want to take that on, so... Okay. Revealing of names and sensitive information. When someone comes and they're telling about someone else, just ask them for their first name if it's their cousin. You don't need to know all the details. But if it's someone in the congregation, you don't even want to know their name. They're coming to complain about someone else hurt me or something like that. Okay. Don't entertain those kind of things. And sensitive information, when people give us... you get in a dialogue, they start to get really open up and become transparent. Be careful that you're not taking on sensitive information that you're going to be accountable to report or to do something with. So just cautioning you, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. I'm talking about in the church. And it's not Christians necessarily, but it's a whole lot of other activity. Any questions on that part? Okay. I mean, it's a trust Holy Spirit. I want to be in here because what is our stance when we are praying? And one of the questions is eyes open or eyes closed, okay? For me, when I pray, I like to close my eyes. I'll be honest, and you see me, I close my eyes. When you have a prayer partner, you're going to be in twos. If the person doing the praying, and let me say about this, that both partners don't have to pray. If the first person says, wow, they have something, and they hit it, you're just agreeing with that. You don't have to elaborate on the same thing or go. Just trust that God's saying them, and you stand there in faith. But if the one praying shuts their eyes, the one that's not praying, keep your eyes open. Okay, so that's what we're looking for. It's up to the person praying. Sometimes I like to pray because you look right into their soul and their eyes. Whoa, you look in there and you... Sometimes, though, I need to press in because I need to hear Holy Spirit, not be distracted with the facial expressions or what the body language that you know I'm getting. So if the person that's praying closes their eyes, the other one needs to keep their eyes open and be aware of what's going on, and I'll explain that in a minute. Or if he keeps his eyes open, you can close your eyes or keep them open or whatever. But okay, Patricia?
We learned that street witnessing, do not close your eyes. Or if you, well, with your partner, like you said, mm-hmm. the partner is always knowing what's going on. And even in a restaurant, when we pray for our food, somebody needs to keep their eyes open. Because we live in a day and time where people are worse than they used to be.
So
you never know. I mean, on the street, they can come up, rob you, hit you in the head, just do anything. You always keep your eyes open, street witnessing.
And the reason we're keeping our eyes open in the church, we're not expecting to get hit in the head. But if there was a demonic reaction, which we've had those from occasion, but also we're asking in this, and it says laying on of hands, I'll tie this in. Men to men, okay, you can put your hands on the shoulder or on the head. If a man has a pain somewhere, you can ask a man to put his hand there, and you put, if you're a man, put your hand over his hand where he's praying and speak into that. But if you're praying for someone of the opposite sex, the only place I want you to put your hand is on their forehead or just on their shoulder and just touch it. But if you close your eyes and you got your hand somewhere, it could end up in a lot of places. And you, if they move and it's wrong, opposite sex, you could be in trouble. And so especially in that, you want to keep your eyes open. And I pray with my eyes shut. Sometimes I'm pressing in to hear Holy Spirit. But if your partner needs to keep their eyes open, just aware. Same thing with as we move into hugging with the opposite sex. We're going to have to get out of the habit of hugging the opposite sex, especially if you don't know them. A new people coming in, it's getting in their space. And guys, you can hug guys. I don't have any problem with that. But be careful about hugging the opposite sex. You know, there's just too much going on out there. And you got people coming in just looking for that, especially visitors that come in that are just looking for that. Okay, they got in my space. And you see it's happening right now, all the presidential candidates now, everybody's been accused of something violating. And everybody could be, but we don't want to bring it into the church where that becomes. And so I'm probably maybe the biggest offender of that and that. But I'm just saying, for me, I'm more on my guard and on that, and pull them back from hugging everyone. I give them kind of a side thing, but not, definitely not a full embrace up front. Okay. I mean, I know we're Christians and we love everybody, and we're living in different times, okay?
One thing that I think makes it easier to avoid that is the sense that you just prayed and we're praising the Lord for what accomplished. A hug takes it back down, even to me, that place that, we just connected, but really we just connected
That's
to
good.
The Lord. And so, it's challenging when you bring it back down to the place like, don't you appreciate that I just prayed for you? It's about...
Or the other way, they appreciate when I hug you because thank you for praying for me,
but
Just be cautious, okay? And I mean, we know each other. We've been around a long time. It's a culture that we have here, okay? And we understand that. But we're getting a lot more people coming in, and they're not used to that, all that culture, okay?
So I guess my mind is thinking two different things. So it's obviously as we're kind of walking through, you might beat up someone. So I assume we're not talking about that.
We're talking about prayer time.
So, So what would you like to do then? Those, if you just take your hand out and say, for example, if it looks out to disagree.
Well, what Linda said and we said is at the end, seal it by saying, you know, raise your hands and just thank God for what he's done, you know. And because we're giving him the glory. And it's awkward to shake someone's hand. I'm doing some fist bumping because there's another situation in our family about I got grandchildren have no immune systems. And number one way you pass germs is your hands. And so all the people I touch on a Sunday morning handshake here, you know, I don't know why I'm picking up and passing. I'm standing in faith and believing for me, but, so work on that. But, and you know, just make sure you have permission to.
But you can say a lot with your smile and your eyes, too, just like thanking the Lord and sending
their way. I challenge you to be a little, I challenge you to be a little bit more sensitive and notice that, especially with newer people or people that aren't familiar with the culture, when you go to move in, watch how they're, do they kind of, or they get a little bit uneasy. Talking with the women, a lot of women, you get in their space, guys get in their space, and that's what the accusations are out there in the workplaces. Well, I didn't invite you into that space, and you've come a little bit. Now you're touching. You know, that's there, so.
Yeah, I noticed over the years that when I'm praying for a female, for a woman, that a lot of times they'll start tearing up, they start crying, and at the end of the prayer, you know, we don't stop them. And sometimes I'll, you know,
right. Yeah, everything's different. A female to female, go ahead, hug if you feel the Holy Spirit. You know, but I'm just saying across the, just be wise right now what's going on. Not because we're, you know, fearful of the culture, but you need to know what's going on in that.
Out immediately afterwards and want to hug. I mean, are we literally standing in a place where we back away and say no, or are we just saying, hey, we need to be careful in this? I mean, first of all, if there's a female praying for a male or a male praying for a female, then your partner needs to be
right.
The other sex. First of all, that there should never be two men praying for a female, so we need to make sure that.
Yes.
But then, so then there's accountability there for that situation too, but is that right? We just need to be sensible in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, someone, if I pray for a female and then immediately after the prayer she reaches out to hug, you know, being sensitive and, you know, usually what I'll do is I'll kind of turn to the side and try and give at least like a side hug or something like that. So, but maybe that's too much even that way. Maybe I just even say.
I'll tell you where I'm going on that. I'm pulling away from it. And it's hard because I get. It's such a culture here, and you do have, you know, there's an expectation, and so don't get offended if I, but I'm moving more to the cautious side, you know, and expressing it in other ways. You know, I know I can express it by looking in your eyes and you know, telling you I appreciate you, and you know, and a lot of other ways without touching, and so. Okay, a couple of real quick things that I'm just going to activate you and give you a commission. A couple other things is sometimes after you prayed with people, continual prayer, after you're done, maybe they're laying down or they're just there and you want to soak them in prayer. You know, that means you're just going to pray over. You're not, continuing to talk to them. You're just soaking them, praying in the Spirit over there, more, Lord, and praying the Spirit. Both team members don't have to do that. The one team member, if it's a female, the female can stay. The male can go and join another team or find something. There's going to be times where people need to be just immersed. You know, they're really getting delivered and need the presence of God, the love of God, and so you're just speaking that, but you have to be led by the Spirit. But both people don't need to be teaming up on someone for the whole, you know, prayer time or whatever. But be wise on that. We're not making a law on that. Rotating prayer partners, don't get stuck in this is my prayer partner and the one that I team up with. Rotate, because you'll learn from others what they carry, and both of you carry something, so not just always with a man, sometimes be with opposite sex, but learn how to work and flow with each other and listen to how they minister. So rotating partners, also catching. We don't have the obvious, this isn't a catching, and the ushers. Ushers are doing. So be sensitive. A lot of people, I know there are people that are slain spirit, but a lot of people, they just become familiar when they get prey. They just give themselves to it and go. You know, it's just human nature. But we want to, the person that is of the opposite sex, if it's two men praying for a man, it doesn't matter. But the one that's not praying should stand behind, and I just stand behind there, and I kind of, with a man, just keep myself there and keep him. If he goes, I got him. If he doesn't go, I'm keeping him up there while he's getting prayer. If it's a man and a woman, it's a little bit more difficult if the woman's praying for him, for the man to get behind. I just stand behind and keep my hand on their back and keep them standing up, you know, while they're there. We have to work on the prayer teams, the catchers, because that's another sensitive area. Our teams do a good job, but we haven't given instruction for a long time, so a lot of them are just responding because of the need. And so we'll work on that. But just be sensitive. If you have someone stand behind them, that's great. Then you can just trust. Now you become a three team. Someone standing there, you know. And our teams are pretty good at putting ladies behind ladies and men behind men. So if you get someone staying, fine, you're good. You don't have to be that sensitive to it. Okay? Any other comments before I just give you a commission?
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes. Where two women could not pray for a man.
That's right.
It's still that way.
That's still that way.
Where two men cannot pray for a woman.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stays in effect. And okay.
Which means when you're coming up as a prayer, you need to see what groups are up there. So, and if you see that there's no mixed groups yet, make sure that you go and stand with the man.
And this is how we'll work this. As soon as you hear me give kind of the prayer teams are going to come up, that's your cue to move. Right then, as soon as I say we're going to release the prayer teams, I may do it a lot this morning, you move and move up on the sides here. And then you can kind of watch when the people start moving, who's coming, and then you can form the teams. Because if you form the teams before, sometimes we've had, you know, two men up here, and there's not any men in the aisle, so the two men stand there. But if you see there's all women, then the men and the women can team up as a team. So I'd like you to come up on the sides, and as soon as I say prayer teams, you're just coming up and getting ready. And if you're in this spot or that spot over there where the stairs, come back into this so it gives all that room up there. If you're in front of the stairs, you come and position yourself right at the stairs because you have shorter distance if there was a need for people to be caught so they don't hit the tile floor. But come up and just kind of observe as the people are starting and then start forming your teams as they're coming, you know, just Susie.
Occasionally someone usually someone not familiar with Harvest will just bolt down to a prayer team when they're done praying with someone, and maybe it will be a man in front of two women or opposite. It's okay as the team to say, we want a man to be in the team, so just stay here for a moment until someone becomes available. I mean, that's an okay
thing. Yes. Oh, yes. Someone bolts to...
So you don't have to feel like trapped to do something that you're not comfortable with.
Call in. Be familiar with the prayer team members, and if that happens, call them in. You know that, okay, it's two guys here and a gal runs up and wants prayer. Gals come over and join them. And what I like to do with in a lot of those cases is, you know, I let Apostle Linda, when we were ministering and a woman comes, I just yield to her to minister. Sometimes when we say, what are you believing for? I'll stand back and agree with her and press with her. But yeah, so beware, you're all the same team. You're all prayer team. So you can draw on each other and call each other in for that.
Well, it was a small weekend of it. So I guess I've never stood behind anyone when you're praying for someone, I'm using to the side. So are you saying that one person should go behind while the other is praying, and then the other person would be positioning themselves in the front?
If there's no catcher, just be...
Well, usually there's no catcher when you're praying, when we're praying like individually.
I think he's saying be insensitive to see if that's about to happen.
Yeah. The second person, that's why they keep their eyes open, so that you can stand on the side or be in front, but if you see that person kind of going like that, you move around to the back. You don't have to go to the back to start, but just be sensitive.
No, that's what I'm asking. Is there a chance? Initially, you said you want us to be in the back. You said you go to the back. That's what I was asking.
Again, you know, I don't want us to get so rigid that, you know, oh, I'm doing it wrong. There's not... that we're learning together, so it's not do's and don'ts, but there's just some caution.
I have one more question. What if you give an altar call specific, and then the person comes up and they want prayer for something else? How would you just...
I mean, you're going to pray for them, obviously. You're not going to tell them to go sit down, but you might ask them, say, the invitation was for this. You know, and if they say, no, that's not what I'm here for, pray for them. We're not going to be legalistic, but yeah.
Okay, because now that happened to me when there was a specific call, but I didn't really hear it.
Yeah.
And I went up for prayer, and they turned me down.
Okay.
They turned me down.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to do that. We're not.
Okay. And in some senses, I mean, that reminds me that, you know, Jesus is walking down to go and heal things specific, and it wasn't a woman that was hemorrhaging for 40 years, but she came up anyways and grasped onto that power of healing. I mean, if someone's that hungry for prayer that they're coming up for something different, it might, you know, you might see it as an opportune time. This person's coming up in faith. And
yeah. All I was saying is if I give a specific listen, because that may be a key to them, but don't make that so dogmatic that you can't pray for someone else that comes up, you know, and say, well, she's in. Wasn't the right time. Let me give you this commission, then we'll pray for each other. Here's the commission I give you. It's out of Mark 16, and this is commissioning the prayer team, and we'll call it the prayer team. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed. And so obviously we're not sending you out, but we're sending you, releasing you into the service, and it's... kind of your, it's a training field. This is easy place to pray for people because they're given the invitation to come, and so you get to release that. And okay, so I commission you as a prayer team. by the authority that Jesus has given you, all authority in heaven and earth he's given you. And you've been anointed with Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So the authority from King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he says, now you go and you do the same. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. And so I commission you now as a prayer team that in Jesus' name you're anointed and commissioned. And now go do likewise. Amen. Amen. So why don't you come on up and we'll just activate you in praying. That fasting's up to you. That you have to be led to the Spirit. We're not making that that if Holy Spirit tells you to fast, fast. why don't you get with how do I want to do this? You're looking at me like, oh no. Well, I was going to lay hands, but I want them to pray for each other too. I'll lay hands on you and just release you into the, commission you into the prayer. And then if you need prayer, why don't you find someone to pray for you and release that. Does that make sense? And so guys, if you need prayer, find a guy. Gals, if you need prayer for something, just find one of the gals and release that, okay? And so, Father, I thank you that in the name of Jesus.
This is a good example of what the people who come up for prayer, they stay as far away as they can, and that makes it very difficult for catchers in it. So it's always getting the habit of people come.
I violated it.
Come forward. And if they don't, like Susie's resistant when you're telling her to come forward, when I'm going to pray for her, just to say, would you come up and stand a little bit closer here? Then I'll pray for her. So direct people, because it does make it harder on the catchers and also more comfortable to when does explain the Spirit. So this is, to me, the line is this. As long as there's enough room for a prayer person to be here, everybody should come really close.
And then over in this section, you need to go back further and give more room for the catchers. Yes, come up. So come on up closer, and I'll just come and commission you in Jesus' name. And so you just receive and believe. It says, believe that you receive. That's it. I'm believing you receive, and I'm imparting to you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We commission these right now. I commission Don right now. Commission Dolly right now, Father. I commission Janet right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, the same Holy Spirit. Commission Joanne right now. And Elaine in the name of Jesus. And Arlene right now in the name of Jesus right now. Commission them as a prayer team member right now. Commission Ron right now and Ta-Nehisi right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Linda right now, I commission her right now, and Susie right now in the name of Jesus into Father this ministry right now. I thank you right now, Father, for Ed right now and Carolyn right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Nicole right now in the name of Jesus and Michael right now in Jesus' name. I commission you right now. Lay hands on the sick. Heal the sick right now. I thank you right now for Joyce right now and Susan right now in the name of Jesus. I commission right now Jana right now in the name of Jesus. I commission Lee right now. I commission Stephen right now in the name. And I say, go lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, set the captives free right now in the name of Jesus. Raise the dead in Jesus' name. Now I just release you right now. Just pray for one another. Just especially if you need prayer, just turn and ask someone for prayer. Okay, if you don't have someone, just pray anyway for someone. Okay.